We'll open in our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12.
We're going to focus our attention towards the end of this chapter, Romans, chapter 12. And as you find your place, I'd ask that you stand and respect the Word of God as we prepare to read it. We'll be beginning with verse number 17. Romans, chapter 12, verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider today what you have for us, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. If you've been with us, you know we've been going through a series on anger, and we've been dealing with primarily just the thought of the necessity of seeking resolution speedily when there's anger that flares up, trying to resolve whatever it was that caused it as quickly as possible. God gives us a lot of instruction and encouragement to do so. This morning we're going to continue with that theme, but we're also going to transition to the little bit more practical side, that when the anger does flare up, how should we respond? How should we act? And so it's going to be more of a transition message this morning, and then next week we'll deal more with how do we control this emotion of anger. As you probably are well aware of now, if you've been attending the series, anger is not always a sin. It's a God-given emotion because we have been created in God's likeness. And so anger in and of itself is not sin, as long as we allow it to be subjected and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit controls that emotion, then and only then are we going to be angry at the wrong or at the right things. Unfortunately, our flesh creeps in, and we oftentimes grow angry over the wrong things. And that's when it becomes sin, and that's when we need to resolve these issues quickly. And we need to apply some of the other scriptural instructions to our lives. What we find here in Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to focus primarily just on the last verse, verse number 21. A little bit later in the study, we'll be considering verses 18 and 19. And so this morning, I want to purposely try to stay away from those verses so we don't have repetition as we go through this study. But in verse 21, God tells us, Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so what we find here is a twofold instruction. In both of these instructions, we see that word overcome. Now, most of us are familiar with a brand of tennis shoes and athletic gear by the name of Nike. The word Nike comes from the Greek word for victory. And that's the word that God has used here for overcome. And the idea or the meaning behind this word to overcome, or this Greek word Nike, is the idea that a great conflict has taken place. A great struggle has happened. And as you go into that struggle and into that battle, into that conquest, you must give it everything you have. And as you give it everything you have, you can come out, you may be bruised and battered a little bit, but you can come out victorious. You can come out the winner. And I'm really trying hard not to talk about the game here in a couple of weeks. But there will be a football game, and so I guess I've blown it, so I might as well just take the ball and run. There's two teams. One's going to be wearing scarlet and gray. The other team's going to be wearing maize and blue. And they're going to go at it. They're going to have a contest, an athletic contest. But I can guarantee you, if you were down there where that ball is placed on the line of scrimmage and the center puts his hand on that ball to snap to his quarterback, And on the other side of that ball, as close as he possibly can get, will be the nose tackle for the other team. And that line will be there. It's called the trenches. You've got the center, the two guards, and the tackles, and the tight end. That's the trenches. I can pretty well guarantee you it's going to be a war down in those trenches. You're not going to want to be in those trenches, I'll guarantee you that. Because those boys are going to be hurting when the day is done, even though they have all the padding and the equipment that's provided for them. Because they're going to be giving everything they have. And at the end of the day, when that final whistle blows, only one of those teams is going to be able to walk off the field having conquered, having won, having experienced the victory. That's what God is telling us here in this verse, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21, that we too as Christians are in a battle. We too are in a war. We're in a contest. And there's a great deal more at stake than in a college football game. There's even more at stake in your life on a daily basis than what we have at stake in the Super Bowl every January. You see, souls hang in the balance. Your spiritual well-being is on trial. Your mind is being fought over. Who will win and who will lose? God has given us all the equipment that we need in order to win. That's what we'll be looking at in the next few weeks to come. But this morning, as I said, we're transitioning from the idea of being able to overcome these things, resolving these things, to then controlling them. And so let's consider that first phrase, first of all, be not overcome with evil. When that battle takes place in your life, that spiritual battle, do not allow the devil or the evil to be victorious. You stay with it toe to toe until you come out as the conqueror. We actually have at least three foes. Now, I'm going to try to narrow this down to merely anger, because that is our series, and anger is a worthy opponent, isn't it? But you know, we have the devil walking around, our adversary the devil, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he knows how volatile that emotion of anger is. He's subject to it himself. It's out of control. He cannot have any hopes of conquering his anger. But as born-again believers, and if you're here this morning without Christ, you have no hope either. You must do the lust of the flesh, of which one is anger. But if you're saved, you know the Lord is your Savior, and on your way to heaven, you have everything you need to conquer that anger problem. There's no reason why you ought to fly off the handle and say things that you regret. The only reason that happens is because you have not conquered. You have been conquered by evil, rather than you conquering the evil in your life. Because sin is evil. We can justify that anger. We've talked about this in the past few weeks. How we can justify anger because we may be 100% innocent. And that person that has stirred our anger may be 100% in the wrong. But if you are angry for the wrong reason, and one of those wrong reasons is just inflicted hurt by the other person, on your person, your character, that is not a biblical reason or biblical justification for anger. But that's what most of our anger is all about, because someone has inflicted hurt on our character, has damaged our character. And so we fly off into a rage saying things we ought not to say. God says, you've just sinned. God says, you've just been conquered by evil. You see, the devil knows that if he can cause you to say those things, if he can cause you to do those things that are the response of anger, he knows he has you conquered. He knows he has you in his back pocket. He knows he has control of your life. And he can call that trump card whenever he needs to, because there may be someone watching you that you may not even be aware of. Someone who is considering and contemplating Christianity, they know their life is a mess, they know they're headed for hell, and they're looking for answers, and they're looking for someone who's real. And the devil notices that seeking on their part. He notices the drawing of the Holy Spirit of that soul to Christ. And as that person is observing you, trying to work up the courage to approach you about Christianity and being born again, the devil will send someone your way to stir up that anger and destroy your testimony. And that one who's searching and seeking will look and observe you and say, well, I don't want what they have. Whatever it is that they have, it is not real, or that wouldn't have happened. I'll have to look elsewhere. You see, he will try to destroy your testimony through anger. Temptation is another adversary, another evil that we must overcome rather than allowing it to overcome us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And so we have the promise of God that we will be able to bear whatever temptation He allows in your life. He never promises to remove the temptation. Notice that. You see, oftentimes we get into situations where anger becomes a temptation. If we sit down and watch that football game, now most of you probably won't have temptation to anger because Ohio State's probably going to clean our clock this year. But if I sit down and watch that game, that's going to be a time of temptation for me. But I have the assurance of the Word of God that I do not have to grow angry. God will give me everything I need. And I know a football game's a simple illustration. But that may be that person you work with a personality conflict. It may be with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up and families getting together, there may be a family member that you have a personality conflict with. And to put the two of you in the room is just the sparks then begin to fly. That may be your temptation. That may be that place that God is warning you to be careful. Don't let that evil conquer you in that situation. But remain gracious, remain kind. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Just stay calm and cool and collected. Surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him take over. Don't succumb to that temptation to grow angry. Even when they say those things and when they do those things and act that way, that so frustrates us that it just causes us to be angry. All right, there's a third area from which evil comes. And I just simply call this human adversaries. Human adversaries. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:9, as Paul is talking about his ministry in Ephesus, he says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me." And then he says, "And there are many adversaries." Many adversaries. What Paul is saying there, he says, look, we're having a wonderful ministry here, and we're seeing all kinds of people saved. We are having ability to minister to more and more and more people, to reach them with the gospel of Christ. But as we're reaching more people, more adversaries are coming in our way to destroy our testimony, to catch the Word of God out of their hearts and out of their mind, to lead them then astray into falsehood. And there's many adversaries. And you may not fully understand the pastor's heart, but when an adversary, a false teacher comes, or someone who comes in who causes discord in the flock, it's very easy to grow angry with that one. It's very easy to attack that one. It's very easy to see them as an adversary. We have to be careful that we do not allow that situation to conquer us. We need to conquer it instead. But you see, when we give in to that temptation and sin, we are conquered. We wave the white flag. When we give in to the same angry response that they have, they're shouting at me, why can't I shout back at them? Their face is red, their eyes are bloodshot, why can't mine get the same way? Nobody will think anything different. After all, they started it. And we can justify it. But God says, don't let it conquer you. If you respond in the same way, you have been conquered, not by good, but by evil. A third way that we can realize that we've been conquered is when you just can't let something go. When you dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it, you have been conquered. God says, don't let it happen. Do not let it happen. Release it, let it go. That's why verse 19 is there. He says, we have a proper response, and it's not to get even. It's not to get revenge. Or as some people say, I don't get even, I just get ahead. And God says, that's not your responsibility. The biblical proper response is in verse number 20. And we'll get to that in just a few moments as we discuss overcoming the evil with good. But we have to be careful that we don't dwell upon the wrong done to us. It was mentioned in Sunday school about the primary speaker in the men's conference this weekend, a man by the name of John Bishop, who is pastoring a church and a successful pastorate and contracted meningitis. That meningitis nearly took his life. And as he went through the process of recovery, it became very apparent very soon that he lost all of his memory, every last bit of long-term memory. To this day, and it's been about 13 years, he still cannot remember a single event from before 13 years ago. Not a single thing. The only thing he knows is what his wife has told him and what his family has told him about what it used to be. He didn't even know he was a pastor. He didn't even know he was married. Very difficult situation. But you know he doesn't dwell on those things. He has overcome the situation in his life. It would be very easy for him to be angry at God and let that emotion just flare because of the things that have come in his life. But his philosophy is that God tells us that he does everything for our good and that God is always in control. And so he has yielded to that knowledge. He doesn't always feel it, he says, in his heart. But he always understands it and believes it in his mind. Therefore, he accepts it. And sometimes that's the way it has to be with you and with me. That God knows what is best. And for our situation in our lives, and sometimes we're just too self-centered, and if we're honest, we might sometimes have to admit that it's not for our good, but it's for somebody else's good. That this emotion of anger is threatening to well up within me. Because someone else needs to see a proper response in this situation. They need to see Christ on display in order that they might come to Him, that they might grow in Him. But we need to have that attitude. God is always good, no matter what we encounter in this life. And if we'll arm ourselves with that, it will help us to not be overcome with evil. But he also says, secondly, overcome evil with good. We overcome evil with good. There's three ways we overcome evil with good. It's somewhat related to what I just said. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, we read, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You see, we overcome evil when we respond with a good demeanor. With a good demeanor. When we talk, when someone is mad at us, and they're just as mad gets, and they're just spouting off with the mouth, and you just take it patiently, and you respond in a very kind, and a very gentle, and a very understanding tone, God says, you've just overcome evil with good. The Bible tells us, in Proverbs 15:1, that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. Excuse me, stir up anger. So not just our deportment when we are being railed on by an angry person, but also the words that come out of our mouth. What is it we say? Because it's very easy to very calmly say, you idiot. And we won't mention the trip over to Mansfield. at some guy, it was raining, some guy not driving very well, and somebody's mouth slipped, exactly what was preached against, but we won't mention that. But it's very easy to say it in a calm, collected way. It really it is. And so it's more than just the deportment, but it's also the words that actually come out. Are they helpful? Are they encouraging? Are they uplifting? Are they, the biblical word is edifying? You see, what a difference we can be. What an opportunity for our light to shine in a dark world that knows no other way, has never seen any other way on display. A third way to overcome evil with good is with good works. And this backs us up into the previous verse, verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Have you ever felt like doing that when you had an enemy? Now, God doesn't say anything else. He says, this is your enemy. This is your adversary. Don't you just feel like going over and cooking dinner or taking a dinner over to your enemy's house? Hey, I just thought I'd bring you something to eat. This stuff is good. Take my word on it. You'll like this. Have you ever slaved over a hot stove or a hot oven making something for your enemy? But God says, that's the way you're supposed to respond. Not with anger, not with getting even, not trying to get revenge, but you're to respond with good works, with good works. He says further over in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What God is telling us there, and when He uses the term Gentiles, it's those that are lost, those that are making a mockery of Christianity, those that are persecuting the Christians. And as they're persecuting and making life difficult for the Christian, God says the way that you're to respond, if you're to overcome the evil with good, then you respond with good works. Because as they see your good works, they'll realize that that's not your flesh doing it. They're going to realize it's none other than the presence, the indwelling presence of God in your life. He says, you learn to do that. You can overcome evil. Now, obviously, this can be applied in a much broader spectrum than just that of anger. But we also, without doing any injustice, we can narrow it down to this one emotion, this one evil of anger out of control. Folks, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good in order that you can make a difference in this world for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it to us now as we contemplate it during the invitation. And Father, if you've spoken to hearts, I pray that these would respond. And Father, come settle issues at the altar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.